The text spoken by the voices and the sound volume are exactly the same as in the original recording.
Welcome to Mind Labs, an open creative slot which deals with stories, issues, philosophy, concepts, ideas, spoken word, drama, comedy, documentaries, avant-garde music, and anything else where thinking is required. Anything where imagination is a strict prerequisite. If you would like to submit your own work for this slot, then you can find out more information at www.sheffieldlive.org. This is Mind Labs, and what is about to follow will now follow.
Wireless Times, the show that takes you back to a time when a factory outlet was where workers left the building.
Wireless Times, the show that takes you back to a time when a workshop was where people made something useful.
Wireless Times, the show that takes you back to a time when leisure shopping was a contradiction in terms.
Wireless Times, the show that takes you back to a time when windows was something you opened for a breath of fresh air.
Wireless Times, the show that takes you back to a time when no one knew that fish had fingers. Listen to this new concept in broadcasting, Head of Light Entertainment.
Go on.
A phone-in.
A phone-in what?
No, not a phone-in anything. We ask listeners to phone in to the radio station.
Why would they want to do that?
Oh, well, we'd have suggested items of topical interest to which they might like to respond.
Such as?
Oh, I don't know. What do you think of the new National Health Service? Will the new look catch on? That sort of thing?
You make it sound as if there's a telephone in every home. Whereas, in reality, most housewives will have to drop everything and make for the nearest telephone box. Do you really think they'll do that?
If that's the housewife's choice, yes. Besides, their husbands might phone in on their behalf.
Their husbands will be at work. They can't just walk out of the factory gate and look for the nearest telephone box. The economy would grind to a halt. Besides, how would they know what number to phone?
We'll broadcast it.
We're a radio station, not a telephone directory. And I'm the head of light entertainment, not the girl who answers the telephone. Besides, listeners don't pay their wireless license fee in order to listen to other listeners talking on the telephone. That's hardly entertainment.
They might hear something interesting.
We pay scriptwriters to write something interesting, and actors to act it.
Exactly. We wouldn't have to pay anyone who phones in.
That's immoral. Besides, what incentive would anyone have to phone in?
They'd be heard on the wireless.
No one could be that desperate.
We're on the wireless.
That's because it's our job. We're not trained to do anything else.
We could offer a prize for the most interesting call.
Such as?
A reduction in the license fee.
So, first we make them pay their license fee to listen to other listeners on the telephone, then we hold out the possibility of a license fee reduction. Intriguing. But what if someone says damn on air or insults the Archbishop of Canterbury?
It won't go out live. There'll be a 5-second delay, so if anyone says anything untoward, we'll cut them off and tell the listeners it was due to a fault at our Bush House Exchange.
And if no one phones in?
We'll phone in ourselves and pretend we're listeners.
Would the Director General approve?
Sir John, it was his idea.
In line with our mission to educate and entertain, we take you back to Victorian England, where Thomas Babbage, the father of modern computing, is about to welcome into his workshop George Stephenson, the designer of the East Coast Main Line and all the delays that go with it.
Yeah, come in, Stephenson. Yeah, just wipe your feet on the doormat.
That's an interesting design on your mat back there. A rat, is it?
No, it's a mouse.
A mouse mat? You could be onto a winner there.
Do you think so?
Certainly. I foresee a time when every home and office in the country will want one.
Well, I'll have to put that on the back burner for a while.
That's more my line of work.
True. The computing machine you've come to look at is in here. It's a little warm in here. I'll just open another window.
There's an awful lot of them.
Over 2,000. That's why I invented my Windows operating system. Just pass me the jemmy from the toolbar. Damn! It's crashed again. And you know, I was hoping to install one of my machines on one of your trains.
Go online with it, you mean? But why would anyone want to take a computing machine onto a train? And think of the inconvenience to other passengers.
I've thought of that. It occurred to me that those passengers who didn't want to be subjected to the constant din of my machine could have a quiet coach.
Why, aye. It could be the furthest coach from the locomotive. You've thought of everything, Stephenson. My word.
Yes, that too. Why, one day I hope it would be possible to use one of my machines to process words correctly spelt with no grammatical errors.
You're a visionary. Men will walk on the moon before that happens.
Men on the moon? Don't be absurd.
Tell me, how do you keep it lubricated?
Well, I use an oil consisting of microscopic sponge particles.
Tiny and not at all hard. What do you call it?
Micro-soft. Actually, the machine won't work without it. It occurred to me that if I kept control of the micro-soft and let other manufacturers make the machines, I could become a very rich man. Possibly the richest man in the world.
But would you be able to solve the problem of the Windows operating system crashing?
Probably not.
Pity.
Why?
It's starting to rain.
Oh, in that case, there's only one thing for it.
What's that?
A Macintosh.
Thank you.
ages, people have suffered from many diseases, and wherever you find diseases, you also find the people responsible for them, doctors. In line with our commitment to inform and educate, we present the Three Ages of Medicine.
The First Age of Medicine.
In medieval times, the doctor's surgery would probably have been a cave, and the doctor would have been a wise woman who dispensed potions from her cauldron. We take you now to old Mother Shipton's cave, the surgery cave.
I've got the plague.
What makes you think that?
It's these pustules under my arm.
I can't see any pustules.
I'm not surprised. Can't you afford to light this place?
No, I'm paid by results. I'll fetch a firebrand.
That won't make much difference.
It will to pustules now. Roll your sleeves up.
I don't fancy that. I'd like a second opinion.
In that case, I'll gaze into me crystal ball. I see a time when doctors will be paid, whether they cure thee or not. Land will be dotted with foundation grottos, and medicines will be dispensed for free by little woodland sprites. It'll be called National Elf Service.
The Second Age of Medicine.
By the 19th century, medicine had come on apace. There were anaesthetics for the painful cases, antiseptics for the infected cases, and the new science of psychiatry for the nut cases. This was first developed among the burghers of Vienna, and Sigmund Freud was the biggest burgher of them all.
Lie on the couch, Froschmidt. I want to examine your id. That's your ego. My God, it's heavily inflated today. No, show me your id. Your id is even worse. In such cases, I usually use the ink blot book technique. I want you to look at the ink blots in this book. Tell me what they remind you of.
Sex.
And this one?
Oh, sex.
And this?
Sex.
Yes. Froschmidt? You're obsessed with sex.
But Dr. Freud, you're the one with the dirty pictures.
The Third Age of Medicine.
We now move on to the present day. Only a few hundred years after old Mother Shipton's prediction, the National Health Service has come into being. It will be funded by the state, and all medicines will be free. Let's visit a doctor's surgery.
Your new hearing aid has arrived, Mr. Smith.
Pardon?
I said your new hearing aid has arrived, Mr. Smith!
It's a bit big.
If you take the packet of woodbines from behind your ear, you'll find it slots in very easily.
That's better.
You just need these. It's the batteries. Take them along to any garage and they'll be pleased to recharge them for you.
Thank you, Doctor.
So, Mr. Smith, what do you think of your new National Health Service?
It's marvellous. There was a time when I could only afford to be sick on alternate Thursdays with cheap diseases. Now I can afford to be sick all the time, and I've got a wide range of ailments to choose from.
So, with the nation's health safe in the hands of the new National Health Service, we can look forward to a time when illness will become almost a thing of the past. But if you are ill, you can simply pop into your local GP, where you'll be seen straight away, and have your prescription taken along to the chemist, where they will dispense with accuracy.
Thank you.
We now take you over to Broadcasting House and the office of the head of drama, where an enthusiastic young writer is making his pitch.
This new idea of yours.
Radical new concept in radio drama, head of drama.
What's it called?
The Archers.
Sounds exciting. About Robin Hood, is it? That kind of thing.
No, it's about farmers.
Don't normally have much to say for themselves, farmers. Once they've discussed the price of seed, that's about it.
That's where you're wrong, head of drama. An uncle of mine, he's a farmer, and he talks about all sorts of things.
Such as?
Combine harvesters? Slurry?
What's that?
I don't know, but farmers spend a lot of time talking about it, apparently.
And you think the listeners will want to listen to them talking about it?
I don't think we should get bogged down in slurry at this stage.
Neither do I, whatever it is.
But it's not just about farmers, it's about where they live.
On their farms?
Exactly. Just think of the things that are on the farm. Cowsheds, chicken coops, wheat fields, and in one episode a barn could burn down with tragic consequences. You can do that on radio.
We'll have to warn the audience first. Where are these farms on which so much happens, sometimes with tragic consequences?
I've called it Ambridge. It's on the River Am.
Never heard of it.
I made it up. It's in Borsetshire. I made that up too. It's an unspecified and yet unmistakable part of England. There are two pubs, The Bull, a sturdy name for where the gentleman farmers drink, and The Cat and Fiddle for the people from the council estate. Did I mention the council estate?
I'm not sure we should lower the tone.
Dramatic tension, head of drama.
I suppose there has to be some somewhere.
And then there'll be incomers. Some from as far afield as Birmingham.
That really is lowering the tone.
I told you it was radical and informative. The plot will be interspersed with timely hints for farmers. When to plough, for instance.
Any farmer who needs to listen to the wireless before he knows when to plough probably shouldn't be farming. Or perhaps he should spend more time farming and less time listening to the radio. How often do you think it should go out? Once a week? Once a fortnight?
Twice a day.
You've been at the sheep dip again.
One would be a repeat.
The likelihood of anyone wanting to listen to a programme about farmers twice a day is rather remote. The possibility of anyone wanting to listen to it repeated stretches the bounds of credulity.
Oh, and then there'll be the omnibus edition.
Who would want to listen to it on the bus, even if the technology for doing so were ever to exist?
Oh, no, the omnibus programme would be the week's episodes, all broadcast without a break.
You mean they'd be repeated again?
Yes, for the benefit of anyone who misses them during the week.
Anyone who fails to listen to a programme that he or she has had two opportunities to hear should have their radio licence withdrawn. What else would the listener find in Ambridge?
The village shop? The post office? Cricket on the green? Which reminds me, there'll be rivalry with the nearby village of Felpersham, not to mention the lure of the county town, Borchester. And we could build a set for verisimilitude.
This is the wireless, not the cinema, or, God help us, television.
Well, we could arrange charabang trips to the set for extra revenue.
Don't be ridiculous. Only a fool would want to go on a trip to somewhere that exists only in the febrile imagination of a BBC scriptwriter. Our listeners are perfectly capable of distinguishing between reality and fiction. I'm not convinced by your idea, but go away and write half a dozen episodes, and we'll take it from there. A programme in which nothing happens three times might be just what the listeners have been waiting for.
That was an excerpt from Wireless Times, the show that takes you back to a time when modified jeans were a pair of dungarees with the knees cut off.
That sketch was brought to you by Wireless Times, the show that takes you back to a time when a game show would have been a program about pheasants.
And wireless meant something on the sideboard that was full of wires.
The show that takes you back to a time when, ooh, a barbecue was a line of men waiting for an haircut.
Wireless Times is a Random Act creation.
You have been listening to Mind Labs, Sheffield Live's open creative slot. Join us next time for something more which isn't the same.